105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge 105.
Erasure singer Andy Bell has been named as the patron of Cambridge-based charity Diverse. The charity is in Dale's Brewery, which is just at the other end of Guider Street to us at Cambridge 105. It was established 30 years ago to provide support for people affected by HIV and AIDS. And I'm pleased to say that Andy joins me on the line now. Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Hi there, I'm very well, thank you very much.
I'm interested in what made you want to get involved in Diverse. You're reasonably local, you're not based that too far away, are you?
No, I mean, I was born in Peterborough. I left about 20 or 30 years ago, but, I pop back quite often. And, we played in Cambridge quite a few times as Erasure. And, I do quite a lot of stuff for the Terence Higgins Trust and the National AIDS Trust, which is mainly fundraising, and you kind of go for dinners and stuff like that, or do paintings or do little concerts and things. And I just wanted to do something that was more kind of on a grassroots level. And one of the guys got in touch with me via Twitter from Diverse and said, would you be willing to be a patron? And I thought, oh yes, it was kind of exactly the thing that I was hoping for. And I just wanted to kind of put something back into the local community and, just see what I could do really with having my name attached to it and hopefully educating young people about STIs and HIV prevention and all that good stuff.
It is interesting, isn't it, the HIV message. When Erasure were at the peak of their powers, we also had those somewhat scary tombstones, didn't we, which were told to warn, everybody really, and advising about safe sex. But now it's kind of, it's a strange one, because on the one hand, there's many people who are living with AIDS. Conversely, I sometimes wonder if that hides all the dangers.
Yes, I mean, it's pretty much, I've been HIV since 1998, and I came out publicly in 2004, I think. It took me a while to process it, and quite a few younger people have come up to me and said, when they found out that they're positive, it can be quite an earth-shattering thing, And for me, the message is that the quicker that you get tested and the quicker you can start taking pills, it's much better, because you become, you're not infectious anymore once everything becomes under control. So, we have more of a, the figures, if we can get them down, the infection rates, it's much better for everybody and for the NHS. And I think it's quite tricky for young people, because it's such a free-for-all now, with sex being everywhere, all over the internet, and dating apps and things, And I think gay pubs are kind of, they have condoms and stuff on the bars, but there are so many opportunities where people just put themselves at risk because they're kind of, they're either drunk or just meeting people casually. And I just think it needs to be talked about more openly, really.
It's an interesting one. You mentioned you're living with AIDS yourself, but I'm wondering if
HIV.
With HIV, sorry to get the terminology correct. Was it more difficult to make that public than to come out in the first place?
It was really scary, because in the mid-80s, there was kind of a crest of a wave that it was kind of fashionable to come out. There were quite a few bands then that were doing it. We had Frankie Goes to Hollywood and the Communards and, Jimmy, we were really close. And there's kind of like a left political movement in London, particularly, that, we kind of did it en masse, which gave it, gave us credence and kind of power, I think. And then once the AIDS crisis kind of hit in the kind of like early 80s to mid 80s, it was just such a crushing blow. We had to kind of, apart from losing so many people, it was basically starting from scratch, gay rights. And it has become quite a powerful kind of political lobby now, working with people with AIDS and stuff, and getting access to medicines, not just here but for for people who are abroad and stuff, you know, and it's still very taboo in lots of places. So, I only talk about it with very close friends still now. You know, it's not something that you kind of go out talking freely about.
And it's tricky, isn't it? The young people and others who are going to be and do use the services of Diverse here in Cambridge, being able to, I guess, come to terms with it and then talk about it amongst their friends.
I mean, in the beginning, you do feel kind of like, I mean, I kind of knew, you know, I had an instinctive feeling that I might have been infected, you know, but you kind of, you keep shoving it down to the back of your mind, you know, and hoping it will go away. And in the meantime, you're getting more and more poorly and all these things are happening to you. But you're kind of in denial. You don't put two and two together. So I think the message that we really need to get through is for people to, even though, you know, as a young gay man, we were educated to go to the STI clinic quite often, you know, it's part of our thing, but I don't know, for a while it just seemed to drop off. And I think for young people, it's just so important just to go to their sexual health clinic and get tested, because as soon as you know, hopefully they won't be positive, but if they are, the sooner you start taking the pills, the better it is for you.
And I guess we should stress this isn't potentially an issue for both gay and straight people.
It's definitely, I mean, you know, STIs are definitely more prevalent in straight people, and especially in the Afro-Caribbean community, and also in the Eastern European community, because I think it's more, they're less likely to talk about those things.
So again, it is cultural, isn't it? In the same way,
yes.
I guess that within the gay community, you might talk about it, at least amongst friends. Others are still a little bit more reticent.
And I think people still see it as being a gay thing, which it totally isn't. You know, it was in the first place, but it isn't anymore.
Mm. Musically, I gather you're about to play a gig in Paraguay in a week or two. How did that one come about?
Well, we just added one on. You know, I mean, when Erasure's not touring, we toured last year. We played 60 shows last year supporting the Violet Flame, which was our album last year. But we, you know, when we're not doing touring, I like to go and do other things like solo stuff. And I've just got a new track coming out with Dave O'Day, which we had a track last year called The Aftermath. The new track is called True Original. And so we've just got these 11 shows coming up in South America. And it is, I do mostly Erasure songs, but then I throw in a few of my solo songs. And at the moment, when I get back, that's the end of this month, the end of August, I'll be rehearsing for Torsten, the Beautiful Libertine, which is part two of a one-man show that I did last year at the Edinburgh Festival. And that's coming out in March next year. And also, Erasure's releasing a 30th anniversary anthology in October this year.
Oh, 30 years, goodness me.
I know, it goes so fast, it's unbelievable.
It's a bit unnerving when you realise what's happening to the songs
really
you bought.
Scary.
Yes. Oh, dear. Andy, brilliant to speak to you. Hopefully we'll have a chance to discuss some of the work that you're doing with Diverse in the future as well. But for the time being, thanks very much for speaking to us.
Julian, thank you very much. Okay, bye.
Pleasure.
Bye.